This afternoon we could not get going with what I was supposed to read to you, but inshallah whatever was discussed, I'm sure most of you must have found it beneficial. Aziz Mujaddid Ibn Ladd Rahmatullah, in one of his malfuz which has been recorded, ایک سلسلہ گفتگو میں فرمایا کہ اگر انسان میں عبدیت پیدا ہو جائے تو وہ انسان ہے ورنہ حیوان سے بدتر ہے. بل ہم اضل, بلکہ وہ زیادہ گمراہ ہے. میں اس کی تصریح اسی کے متعلق مولانا رومی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ نے یہ فرمایا کہ انسانیت حقیقت میں یہی ہے کہ عبدیت ہو, فنا ہو, افتقار ہو, انکسار ہو, عجز ہو, کیونکہ یہ سب علامات ہیں عبد کامل کی. اگر اس راہ میں چل کر بھی یہ باتیں نہ پیدا ہوئی تو سمجھ لینا چاہیے کہ وہ بالکل محروم اور ناکام ہے, کیونکہ محض ظاہری صورت اور لحم و پوست کو آدمیت سے کوئی تعلق نہیں. اس کے متعلق بھی مولانا رومی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ نے یہ فرمایا, آدمیت لحم و شحم و پوست نیست, آدمیت جز رضائے دوست نیست. غرض عبدیت بڑی چیز ہے, جس میں بعض آثار یہ ہے کہ بعض مرتبہ جس وقت عبدیت کا غلبہ ہوتا ہے اس وقت کسی چیز کو اپنی طرف منسوب کرتے ہوئے بھی غیرت معلوم ہوتی ہے, اس لیے کہ اس نسبت میں ظاہراً دعویٰ کسی شان معلوم ہوتی ہے. اسی عبدیت کی بدولت فنا, افتقار, انکسار اور عجز پیدا ہوتا ہے, اور ہر وقت اس کے اندر ایک احتیاج کسی کیفیت غالب رہتی ہے جو عین مقصود اور مطلوب ہے. شیخ اسی کیفیت کے پیدا کرنے کی طالب کے اندر کوشش کرتا ہے تاکہ اس کے اندر سے دعویٰ کسی شان جاتی رہے. اصل چیز عبدیت ہے. When you have عبدیت in you, he says, then you are انسان. If you don't have عبدیت, then you are حیوان. If we got عبدیت, then we are انسان. But if we haven't got عبدیت, then we are animals. So he said, then there must be some علامات or some signs by means of which we can recognize that this person has got abdiyat. Remember Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the title that he gives to Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he went for Miraj, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi laylan min al masjid al haram ila al masjid al aqsa. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he had so many different shans. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he had so many different shans. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala talks about his shan of abdiyat. Because the kamil abd in this world, perfect abd, was none other than Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Now we consider that as being not such a great title that we say this person is a slave. Why? Because our mind goes on to the slavery of our times. Or in history what we read of slavery. Now that's what we term as abdiyat. Because English language there are many words you can't, from the Arabic you can't translate correctly into the English language. For example, falah. Now what can you really, what word can you use to translate falah? Just give one word. Of falah, the meaning of falah. So in one word you will say successful. Now that is not the meaning of falah. As I have been explaining in the Jummah Bayans recently, that this falah, there is no word like that even in the Arabic language. Even in the Arabic language there is no mufrad like falah. A word with such a comprehensive meaning you don't even get in the Arabic language. There are two words which even in the Arabic language you don't get so comprehensive, so inclusive. and having such a vast meaning, such a broad meaning as falah and an-nasiha. These two words, they are very, very comprehensive. Now that falah is referring to falah in the dunya, falah in the qabar, falah in the akhirat, falah until you go into jannat, and then so many other stages in between. Now you are wishing the person falah. Allah Ta'ala wants to give us falah. Now mukammal falah in the akhirat. Now all those things, now you can't translate it into English. In the same way, nasihat, you say advice. Now that doesn't give the true meaning of nasiha. Ad-deen wa an-nasiha. And what a wide meaning Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given of that. So in the same way, this abdiyat, kamil abdiyat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had. Must remember that we have two kinds of people. One is whom we term as our laborers, our staff, our employees. Then they have been given certain tasks that they must fulfill. This task, from morning they must work 8 to 5. The person must sweep the shop, he must do packaging, he must do labeling, he must do marking, whatever it is. In the same way, all other areas of employment, there are certain regulations. The person must be given so many days off in a year. The person must be given so much of leave, so much of sick leave, different kinds of regulations. But that is for whom? For employee, for staff, for a laborer, for a worker. But the other one is what we term as slaves. Now the slaves, you know, in history, those slaves had no rights at all. The slave could not say that I must have 5 days off, I must have 21 days off in the year, and I must get, these must be my working conditions. There was no such thing as working conditions, and there was no such thing as time, there was no such thing as payment of salary, nothing like that. That is why one very pious slave, from amongst the slaves we got great, great muhaddisin after that, and great ulama. If you read the books of hadith afterwards, you'll come across that. So one pious slave, he was a slave, but very pious. So the master asked him, what would you eat? He said, whatever you give me to eat. So where would you sleep? He said, wherever you make me sleep. What clothes you want to wear? He said, whatever you give me to wear. So he said, don't you have any khaish of yours? Because the master too also was a very sympathetic, generous, kind person. So he said, don't you have any wish of yours that everything you just saying, whatever you wish, whatever you wish. So he said, if I had a wish of my own, then why should I be a slave in the first place? If my wish and my desire was fulfilled, then I shouldn't have been slave in the first place. My wish would be that I must be a free person. So he freed him. So those were slaves, that they don't have any timetable, any working conditions, any payment, any salary, nothing. They are abd. So one is that kind of abd that we know. But the insan, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, wants that he must become abd-e kamil. He must also have that same sifat of abdiyat in him. All these rewards which Allah Ta'ala has promised, that if you make namaz, I will give you this. If you give zakat, I will give you this. If you visit the sick, I will give you this. If you give clothes, food, shelter to the poor and needy, then I will reward you in this manner. If you fast in Ramadan, you will get these rewards. All that is the ihsan of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In reality, an abd doesn't really deserve any. Whatever Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tells him to do, he must do. And he must not even wait for rewards in return. Because who has given him the eyes, the ears, the nose? Who has blessed him with his heart, liver and lungs? Who has blessed him with his hands and feet? Allah Ta'ala has blessed him. Now he's saying, now you must make namaz, you must do this or you must do that. So there should be abdiyat the kamil. The person mustn't even look back. The person mustn't even look at rewards and that how much reward I will get. It's Allah Ta'ala's ihsan that He gives us reward. It is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's fazal that He is giving us reward. But he must be an abd-e-kamil. So Hazrat Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayhi says that is what the Shaykh waits for in the Salik, that he wants to see him become an abd in the true sense of the word. He must make fana of his nafs and he must become an abd-e-kamil. He must not have ananiyat in him, that I must. Sometimes out of tahdees and ni'mat the person says that I was blessed with this ni'mat, I'm blessed with that ni'mat, it's a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala over which I make shukr. فَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. But there's a very fine line, I discussed this in one of my majlis, that there is a very fine line. Sometimes the person in the garb of tahdees and ni'mat is actually making fakhr and riya. There's ujub. Now the Shaykh al-Kamil will be able to get that, he will diagnose it, that the person is relating the incidents of his life, or he's talking about his Hajj, or he's talking about his Umrah, or he's talking about the number of tawaf that he made, he's talking about the number of tawaf that he made at night when he was in Makkah Sharif, or he's talking about the number of times that he went for Umrah from there and which Umrah he made, or he's talking about his tahajjud and the kayfiyat and the feelings that he had at the time of tahajjud, or he's talking about his ilm. So outwardly he is saying that I am making shukr of Allah Ta'ala, that these are the ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has blessed me with. But if he has not made fana of his nafs, then that nafs takes an enjoyment in that. When the people listen to it and make wah wah, then the nafs gets an enjoyment. So now when is he making tahdees of the ni'mat, and when is he doing it out of riya and show? Now who is going to tell him and who is going to diagnose that? Because the person cannot see with what niyat he is saying it. The niyat only Allah Ta'ala knows. So the whole purpose of these exercises is that we make fanaiyat of our nafs, that whatever we achieve, we must consider it as a ni'mat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. There must be no kibar that must come in us. There must be no fakhar, because once you get fakhar, then I told you, you become khar. Khar is donkey. Khar in Urdu or Farsi is donkey. So there must be no fakhar. Fakhar. So the person must become an abd. Now if he's going to become a true slave of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, there must be some sign that he has become a true slave of Allah Ta'ala. And that is the sign that he will have iftiqar in him. He will consider himself all the time as being muhtaj of Allah Ta'ala. He will never look at the outward conditions and feel satisfied. That if I've got plenty of wealth, so now I'm not in need of my Allah. If I've got plenty of knowledge, so now I'm not in need of Allah. I've got plenty of knowledge, now why must I worry? I will go and get a teaching job in any madrasa, and especially if the person worked hard as a student and is a good and is qualified in hadith, in tafsir, in fiqh, then there's such a demand in all the madrasas. So many new Darul Ulooms are opening. So now this person says, well, I worked very hard and I qualified and I've got my degree and I'm now a muhaddis, mufassir. So there's no problem, lots of madaris there are there, and I will get easily a teaching job. So he thinks that now because of that abundance of ilm, he doesn't need his Allah. That means he thinks he's not muhtaj anymore. Generally it doesn't happen very much with our madaris, because alhamdulillah in that mahal and in that environment where they are being taught all the time tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala and Allah Ta'ala's sifat and Allah Ta'ala's qudrat, so that person will be a little careful. But this happens mostly with students of the university, students of the college, and students of other institutions of learning where they learn skills. So the person, once he gets the skill, then he thinks that now I'm not really in need of Allah Ta'ala. And if a person has to go and make nasihat to this student who is has qualified, he's got degrees, and also in such a field where there is a great demand, say if there's a great demand for accountancy, or a great demand there is for scientists, or great demand for those people who excel in mathematics, the great demand as teachers for them, or in any other field, in engineering, in law, in whatever it is, if there is a great demand and this person has qualified and he's getting offers from everywhere also, before he can even complete his studies he's getting offers, or the businessman, he's got plenty of wealth, he's got big homes, he's got big factories and industries, and he's got plenty of money outside the country and inside the country, or the person is a farmer or is whatever he may be, but if he has got plenty of material things or he has got plenty of knowledge, then he considers himself independent. In fact, in his attitude also you will see a kind of independence, that he says, I don't care, if you don't want to work for me you go to hell, I'll get another one. The attitude becomes like that, the go to hell kind of attitude. The person doesn't have tawazu after that. We don't say that the person mustn't reprimand. It is the duty of even the sheikh to reprimand. Look at the reprimanding that the murids get by the mashayikh. But that is for the islah of the nafs. At the time that the person is being reprimanded, even at that time the sheikh, he doesn't think of himself as superior. One person in the khanqa was a Tanvir Rahmatullah Alayh. He was told that here you must keep quiet and do all your ibadat and zikr, tilawat, whatever you have come for, you do that. Amar bil maruf nahi anil munkar, when you go outside the khanqa then you must do all that when you finished with your chilla. So he started reprimanding people, you're not doing this right, you're not doing that right, you're not doing that right. So Hazrat called him. He says, didn't I ask you not to do such things? He said, yes, but he was doing a wrong thing, I had to reprimand him. He said, that was my duty, I would have told him. But I asked you to keep quiet, you should have informed me. But then he said, no, I was making Amar bil Maruf, or I was making Nahi anil Munkar, and that is what we have been created for. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Ukhrijat lin nas ta'amuruna bil Ma'ruf wa tanhauna anil Munkar. So he says, I was making Amar bil Maruf, I was making Nahi anil Munkar. So he said, alright, tell me one thing, take Qasam and say, at the time that you were making Amar bil Maruf to that person, what did you consider of yourself? What did you consider yourself as when you were making that nasihat to that person? Didn't you have pride in your heart that I am someone, I am greater than him, I am afzal than him, I am better than him? Did you have that in your heart, or did you have that this person is making a mistake, I want to correct him because I want to see him also go to Jannat, I don't want him to get azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in this world and in the akhirat. So with great compassion and feeling and love, now you are making nasihat, that's a different thing. So he said, no, it's true, when I was making nasihat at that time, that pride was in my heart, that I am doing this better than him, or I am afzal, I am superior. He said, now is that not a sickness and a disease which requires islah first? That first you make islah of your nafs, that when you are making nasihat to somebody, you must not consider yourself as superior. Because as I explained the other day, that one is to have more knowledge than the other person. Now if Hafiz Sahib here says that I know more Quran Sharif hifz than Maulana, then that's correct. Because he is a Hafiz of the Quran Sharif, I'm not a Hafiz of the Quran Sharif. In the same way, if a matriculant says that I've got more knowledge than the standard one child, then he's saying the right thing. It's a correct thing he's saying. He's not making a false claim, because he does have more knowledge. Or if one person who is black tells the white person that I, or the white person tells the black that I am fairer than you, then what he is saying is the truth. But if he says that because I am fairer than you, therefore I am afzal, I am better than you, so then that is haram. Because he can have a white skin, but it doesn't mean he's got a white heart. As Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu had black skin. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam heard his footsteps in Jannat. The heart of Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the hearts of the Muslim Ummah today all put together cannot have a fraction of the shine that Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu's heart had. And he had the sohbat of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So where are we going to get that sohbat? And he was like the treasurer of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. He used to make the arrangement for the guests that used to come. How much of respect that Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to call him my master. So if that person says I've got fairer skin, there's nothing wrong. That is the truth. But if he says I'm afzal, then afzal, better than the other person, will only know in qiyamat. Again, hum aise rahe ya ke waise rahe, wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. This is an antibiotic. It is what we call the DDT of these germs of pride. Don't we say must have DDT, must have antibiotic? So this is the DDT, it's the antibiotic. It's just one small share. Hum aise rahe ya ke waise rahe, wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. But if we only keep that in front of us, then it will kill our pride. We will not think that we are someone. So to know whether we are better than the other person, that only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's darbar, or on the day of judgment when Allah ta'ala will say that I have forgiven you, now you may enter into Jannat, then that time we will smile and we will say that indeed, as that one Allah wala, somebody laughed at his beard and made a mockery of it, and he said, your beard is better or my goat's beard? He said, your beard is better or my goat's beard? And another one said that my dog is better than your beard, than you. Then both of them gave the same reply. He says, if we leave this world with iman, then I am better than your dog. But if I leave this world without iman, then your dog is better than me. Look at their abdiyat and how much of khawf they had, how much of concern they had, that we don't know in what condition we will leave this world. Then how can we be proud just because we have a little bit of ilm or a little bit of amal? How can we be proud when we do not know what will be the condition at the time of our death? Shaitan does not leave a person until his dying day. Until his dying day he doesn't leave. As Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi was making ibadat, and then suddenly he saw that the whole room lit up, so much of like candles and chandeliers, and whole room is lit up as if full of noor. And then he hears a voice that I am your Allah, and now I forgive you, and I make maaf of namazes. You don't have to make namaz anymore. I've become so pleased with your ibadat that now namaz is maaf for you. You mustn't make namaz anymore. So he straight away said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. When he said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, everything vanished and disappeared. So then Shaitan said that with my trick, this trick, I do not know how many people I misled. So he said that how can namaz become maaf for me when it wasn't made maaf for Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he as the greatest of all Nabis, when he the last of all Nabis, and when he the Khatamun Nabiyyin Rahmatul Lil Alameen and the Mahbub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was not forgiven, or namaz was not waived off for him. He had to make namaz. So how can it be for me that Allah Ta'ala became pleased with me, so I mustn't make namaz? So Shaitan said, your ilm saved you. He said, your ilm saved you. And now look at the other trick now, Shaitan. So what did he reply? He said, not my ilm, my Allah saved me. Because the person can have ilm and still he can go astray. The person can have knowledge and he can still go astray. Who does not have the knowledge today? Because knowledge is something that is not necessary, that if you have the knowledge, then automatically you become a muttaqi person, automatically you become a practical alim, it doesn't mean that. Which person in the world is a Muslim and he doesn't know the namaz is farz 5 times a day? So he doesn't have the knowledge of hadith, Bukhari Sharif, Tirmizi Sharif, Abu Dawud Sharif, he doesn't have that knowledge. But that much knowledge he has, that it is farz to make namaz 5 times a day. So how many people became very practical, that the day they came to know that namaz is farz 5 times a day on an adult Muslim, so they started making namaz. In the same way in the world, who does not know, which Muslim does not know that to fast in Ramadan is farz, or to give zakat when there is a certain nisab? Who does not know that drinking is haram? Which Muslim requires ilm that it is haram to commit adultery or fornication? If the person is a Muslim, he says, I accepted Islam. So does any Muslim require further knowledge about that, that zina is haram? Everybody knows that. So why didn't they become very practical? All the people that are committing zina in the Muslim ummah, don't they know that is haram? All those who are watching the porn movies and porn, reading porn magazines and watching the porn on the internet, and they are hooked on all other kinds of evil, don't they know that it is haram? So it shows that just the knowledge is not sufficient. That is why I ask for tawfiq from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for tawfiq of amal on the knowledge. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what dua did he make? Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min ilmin la yanfa. O Allah, I seek protection in you from that ilm which does not give me nafa. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no question of him getting knowledge which was not benefit him. But for us, that dua, that O Allah, protect me, I'm asking you for protection, safeguard me from that kind of ilm which does not give me nafa and benefit. In other words, the ilm that I acquire, give me the tawfiq of amal on it. In many other duas there is that seeking of tawfiq. So one is to seek the tawfiq of amal, asking the Allah Walas to make dua for us and making effort ourselves to. Teri kashish ho, meri ho koshish. Teri kashish ho, meri ho koshish. That Ya Allah, you are pulling me towards you, and I must be making the effort and koshish. So just ilm is not sufficient. With the ilm there must be amal. So what I was explaining was about Ji. So he told him that when you were making nasihat, now at that time what did you think of yourself? So he said, no, definitely I thought of myself as someone superior to him. So on that I said that we must keep this in front of us. Hum aise rahe ya ke waise rahe, wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe, because only Allah Ta'ala knows if our ibadat is accepted or not. Only Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows whether our zikr, tilawat, tahajjud, gash, ta'aleem, tabligh, dars, tadris, umrah, hajj, all these things, ziyarat, the maqbooliyat, we don't know. Allah Ta'ala kept it in the ghaib so that we stay between khawf and raja. Al-Iman wa bayna al-khawf wa raja. Iman is between fear and hope. That on the one hand you do what Allah Ta'ala has ordered and have high hopes. That my Allah is Rahim, He is Kareem, He is merciful, He is loving and He is forgiving. And if it had not been His wish and desire, then He would not have given me the tawfiq of this amal. May yuridin nas, or that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala desires good for any person, yufaqqihu fi deen, then He gives him tafaqqu of deen. So that is a sign that Allah Ta'ala is desiring khair for him. If Allah Ta'ala did not desire khair for him, then He would not have given him the understanding of deen. This Allah Ta'ala's giving to him of the understanding of deen, tafaqqu fi deen, it is a sign that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala loves him. Allah Ta'ala has desired khair for him. But sometimes you desire khair for someone, but that person is not desirous of khair for himself. So then you blame that person. The father is very desirous that my son must make progress. The father is desirous to see this son take over the business during his lifetime. The father wants to make him in charge of the books and the cash and the treasury and everything. So the father is desiring khair for that child. He says that this son of mine, I've sent him to the university, I've sent him to the institutions of learning, because as soon as he qualifies from there, then I will make him a partner first in this business, and after 1 or 2 years, if I see that he is managing well, then I will write this business in his name, and he can take over everything. And he's sending him for that same reason. But this son, when he qualifies and comes out from the institution, then he begins to demand from the father that I want money for this and I want money for that, but he's not prepared to do any work, he's not interested in coming to the business. Whereas the father had desired for him khair, but he is not desirous of the khair for himself. So then what will happen? The father will kick him out. So even if that person has got ilm, which was a sign that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala loves the person, that is why he gave him ilm adeen. But if that person, he does not desire khair for himself, in other words, he does not make amal on that ilm, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also snatches it away. But at the same time, we must not misunderstand that ilm is not just the learning of words and the learning of meanings of ahadith and of Quranic verses, or learning of tafsir. That is not tafaqquh fi ddeen. If the person was a real faqih, then he will restrain himself from everything that Allah Ta'ala has prohibited, or he will make an effort towards purification of his soul, and then he will impart that ilm. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala desires khair for that person, just like that student, as I said, that after that the father desired khair, but he's not interested in that khair. Like one son sent a telegram, those days was telegram, now they've got email and they've got all kinds of other communication systems. So those days was telegram, because he was sent to England to study, so it cost too much. If you have to, the telephone system to those days was some kind of a luxury. When we were in India, we used to write a letter. The letter used to take about 10 days to arrive, or 21 days to arrive. That too, if it caught the boat on time. If it caught the Kampala Karanja on time from Bombay, then 21 days time it will arrive here. And then another few days by the time it gets to the post box. Then when they reply, now you must wait for another 21 days or at least a month before it arrives. So you can get only one letter or two letters in a month. And that too if they caught the boat on time. The air service and all was found to be too costly for us that time. So in the same way, this person now from there, he sends a telegram to his father. Because he was doing nothing, he was just wasting his father's money there. He says, no man, no fun, your son, telegram. No money, so there's no fun, but I'm your son. So his father gave a reply, too bad, too sad, you're dead. So he also replied in telegraphic language. Siraj, don't send those kind of telegrams, boy. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's great ihsan it is if he gives us ilm. So the sign that this person has become an abd, he's got abdiyat in him, and he has come out of what animalism is, this that he has humility in him, he's got tawazu, he's got inkisar, he's got iftihar. And no matter what level he reaches, but he considers himself as muhtaj of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is the bottom line. That whether the person is in business and he's got plentiful, but still he says, I'm muhtaj of Allah ta'ala. Every minute I'm muhtaj. We have seen around the world how within seconds conditions change. Within seconds. People who are millionaires suddenly become paupers. And over a few years, sometimes Allah Ta'ala makes those who are beggars, they become rulers and kings. Those who are in prison, they become prime ministers and presidents. And those who were presidents and prime ministers, somebody is hanging and somebody is gone into jail for life. Conditions are changing. Tilkal ayyamu nudawiluha bainan nas. So there must be this khawf and raja when you are making up ibadat, when you're learning, when you're making zikr, tilawat, whatever we are doing, then there must be khauf also and raja also. We must not have so much of khauf that we become useless and we do not want to do anything after that. We say that why must we make ibadah, zikr, tilawat and all the other good deeds, because we don't know whether it will be maqbool or not maqbool, so we rather don't do it. So it mustn't be that too also. There must be some khauf also, and there must be raja and hope also, that if the person got the tawfiq of making the amal, and to the best of his knowledge he is doing it properly, he is making his namaz to the best of his knowledge with khushu and khuzu, and he is making zikr, tilawat, he is fulfilling the rights of his wife, children, and if it's a wife then of the husband, and he is not cheating, he is not deceiving anybody, he is honest, he is truthful, whatever he has to do as an abd of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he is making the effort to do that correctly. So now he must have hope also that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the one who has put raham and mercy into the hearts of people. So how much more Rahim he is, how much more mercy he has. And if he has asked us to make maaf, if anybody does zulm and injustice, then you make maaf. And if he has asked us to forgive people, have a large heart, then how much more forgiving he is. So you must have hope also that Allah Ta'ala will accept what we have done, and inshallah he will give us what he has promised. But at the same time have that hope also that I could not do justice to the ibadat. That is the reason why in that ayat of the Quran Sharif with regards to the muttaqeen, what does Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says? Innal muttaqeena fi jannatin wa uyun akhizina ma aataahum rabbuhum innahum kanu qabla thalika muhsineen kanu qaleelan min al-layl ma yahjahoon wa bil ashaare hum yastaghfirun. After doing all that ibadat, after making tilawat and zikr and staying awake the night and engaging in ibadat, وَبِلْ أَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ, they're not bragging about it. Again they're making istighfar. Ya Allah, we couldn't do justice to this. So must make shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala has chosen you from so many millions for the acquisition of the knowledge of deen. And he has created the conditions in this country such that it has become easy now to go to these Darul Ulooms and study. And you don't have to go through all those difficulties and hardships and problems that we had to experience in our days in India. So making shukr of that ni'mat, and as you progress, having within your heart that ihtiyaj of Allah Tabaraka, that you are muhtaj every an, every lamha, every lehza, every moment, every second, we consider ourselves as muhtaj of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We have seen people with extremely good knowledge. They were great, they were pillars of towers of knowledge they had. It's oceans of knowledge. One stroke and finished, the memory was gone, so much so that the person didn't even remember his name. The person forgot his name also. All the knowledge was gone too. So no one can say that I'm not in need of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala if I have got plenty full of knowledge, or I've got plenty of full of wealth, or I've got very good health. Health also you can't trust. One day the person is fit and healthy, and then they say some virus got him. And then say it turned to cancer. And then say it starts spreading. And sometime in 2 days' time they say it's gone. And some are gone the same day too. So what happened is, you know, it spread very fast. Now this fit, healthy person, now suddenly in 1 day's time, what kind of virus it was that the person passed away to. So the more we will make ourselves abd, true servants of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the more Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will elevate us. That is the system of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Man tawada'a lillah rafa'ullah. We have to bring the tawazu in ourselves. And tawazu, humility, is a sifat of the heart. And it is tested when we come into contact with other people who may say things which hurt us. That is the time our tawazu is tested. Like that we all can claim that I'm mutawazi, I've got a lot of tawazu. But somebody just tells us that you are a fool, you are a stupid, an idiot, can't you see what you're doing? And then see what way our tawazu goes after that. Yes, if that person is 6'6", and we are small and weak, then we'll still make the wazu. If the person is world-class boxer, and with our punch we can't even kill a mosquito, so then we will make the wazu still. Otherwise, if we think we are tougher than that person, then see where our tawazu goes. So when tawazu comes, it's a sifat of the heart, that the person really believes that he is nothing in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, all greatness lies with him. Yes, there are occasions where you must go and show your strength, and that is the time for jihad, and there the person must go and show his strength. There he doesn't make tawazu in jihad. There he must say who he is. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept your coming, and may he give me, give you and the ummah the tawfiq of making amal on the knowledge that we have. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala cause you to progress day by day, and make you the mashayikh of the time, and make you the ghazalis of the time, and make you the razis of the time, and make you the mufassirs and muhaddis of the time, and the mujahids and muballighs of the time. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.